Welcome to part two of our interview with Claire Broad, author of the book, What the Dead Are Trying to Teach Us. My next question is not to in any way say that someone who is schizophrenic is hearing voices of demonic spirits or anything of that nature. It can be very much just a mental condition and things not firing correctly in our brain.
That's right.
But aside from that, when it's not a mental condition that someone is suffering from, just as the dead are trying to teach us lessons, and there are guides that are seemingly coming and going and some that are staying with us throughout our time on the earth, do you believe that there are also spirits out there that are essentially trying to disrupt the learning, just as in life there's kids that will disrupt the class? Are there other entities out there that have more of a nefarious intent than those with the good intent that are helping guide us?
Well, if I believe that consciousness is just a continuum, which I do from my own personal experiences, then I'm guessing that continuum goes on in all its guises. I have to say, in my own personal life, after 23 years of working in this way and practicing, I've never bumped up against it. But I think that may be because I'm in a healthy, well-rounded mental state of being, and so therefore I'm not in alignment with that. I can imagine that if somebody isn't particularly well, and it's not actually mental health that dictates this. It's more of an innate part of your personality. If you've had a bad experience in life and you choose the dark path, for instance, you know, if you turn to anger, if you turn to vengeance, if you turn to revenge, all those kinds of things. I think they're lower frequency emotions. They're what drag you down. And I think then perhaps it's possible to align yourself with others in the non-physical realms who also resonate with those types of emotions. And it seems that some people almost make a sort of pact between them. It's like, from my learning and everything, the practice of mediumship is, it's a two-way thing. You know, me as the medium, I give consent to that relationship. And so I believe at some level, all of us are maybe unconsciously getting something out of that energy that connects with on the lower vibes and feeds into that negativity or anger or emotion. I believe it's a two-way thing.
Okay.
And I believe at any time, if you choose a higher state of mind or reach for a higher state of being, then you raise yourself up to it. So there's nothing to be, for me, there's no fear involved in this, because I understand that a healthy emotional state of being almost acts as a natural protection, and like attracts like, just as it does in this world.
Sure. And that's very true, especially when we have cases of hauntings and activity in homes that people can't explain. They don't know what's going on or why it's happening. Quite often, if you dig deeper into their life and what's going on around them and what they're surrounding themselves with or being surrounded by, if it is more negative, things seem to get more amped up. Things seem to get a little more scary and a little more questionable as to why are they experiencing this. The more that they start to interject positivity into their life or a better state of being, all around, things do seem to ramp down. It's almost as if the negative doesn't like being around the positive, and the positive doesn't like being around the negative. But taking that step into the other direction can be incredibly difficult.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I think people become identified with themselves in that certain way. You know, my life always goes wrong, becomes an identity. It was typical of my life, you know. And so it's learning. I imagine it a little bit like a magnetic field. You know, they almost repel each other, positive and negative.
Sure.
they're repelling against, working against each other. So, it sounds really trite, but it's true. And we know it's true because I always have to bring it back to this life, what my experiences are, that I can, you know, something more tangible. And you know yourself if you're feeling depressed and low, that you feel heavy and, you know, things just don't go your way and, you know, more and more seems to just fall apart around you until you actually take a grip and take control of your mental state of being and do something about it. And I just believe it's because consciousness seems to be the thing that runs through both the physical and the spiritual dimensions, that this is the common law, if you like.
Is being able to understand messages from the dead essentially at the level that you're at, I'd put you pretty high as far as being able to pick up on these things, being a medium, things of that nature. Is this something, in your opinion, and there's obviously a level of it where it is just everyone starts at different levels of either you're really high up there and sensitive or you're not. For someone who's not high up there naturally, is this something that can be learned as a sense or a skill, or is it much like sight or hearing? You can't learn to hear better. You can't learn to see better, no matter how bad you want that.
I love that. I love the way you've described that. I actually believe that you can actually strengthen it. So, okay. Yes, we will all have varying degrees of ability. I'm sure that's true. Just like everybody can't become great artists and everybody doesn't become fantastic opera singers, you know, but we can all sing and we can all enjoy doing art. It's the same kind of principle with mediumship. There are going to be some people that just seem to be more proficient at it than others and find it easier to do. But however, I believe the difference here is that we are all spiritual beings first and foremost, that part of us, that nature within us is there and has been there from the beginning and will be there afterwards. And therefore, if we can get in touch with our spiritual nature, that essence, consciousness, psyche, or whatever you want to call it, spirit within us, then we can then become more sensitive. I think a lot of us walk around in this world not even paying attention to that aspect of ourselves. And so it's quite interesting when you see studies done with people doing yoga, for instance, who then bring the practice of meditation into their life through exercise, then suddenly start to notice they're having more psychic experiences, or, you know, that spiritual dimension is expanding in their awareness and opening up to them. So I do believe that we can all have a connection to and a relationship with the spiritual dimension of life. And I do believe that all of our loved ones who exist, our family and friends who love us, try to at some point reach out and let us know they're okay. And if we're open to that experience, then we are more likely to recognize it. And I think it's a lot of us are just switched off from it. We're not looking for it.
In what ways can someone look out for that message from the loved ones on the other side? And is it a finite window? Is it they're passed, and now in the next week or two, they're going to try and give me that sign that they're on the other side? Because there's a lot of ways that could go. If you're on the other side and your loved one is just not hearing your message, I guess that'd be extremely frustrating. It's like, look, I'm freaking out your cat. I changed the clock. Power's going on and off. The dog seems to have a weird interest in the cat that's not natural that I'd find really funny. There's something, you know, and you're still not picking up on it. is that something where it is a finite window, or, you know, is the message out there indefinitely because, you know, time and things of that nature, you know, may not exist as we understand it on the other side?
I definitely think there's a point when people first move into the spirit dimensions, particularly depending on the manner in which they passed. So if it's sudden and they didn't have a chance to say goodbye, or, you know, if their loved ones are distressed around the circumstances, or if children have been left behind here because parents have died young, you know, things like that. There does seem to be, when the real need is there, this urgency, a bit like my granddad, I suppose, to get back and let people know they're okay. It seems to be that in the first few months, I would say to the first year, that spirit loved ones will try and get our attention directly. It's probably more likely you get something direct, actually, a sign, a smell, a, you know, flickering of electricity, dreams, or even visitations directly than you would if you even went to see a medium. For me, the mediumship side of things in spirit, they seem to need to get acclimatized to what's happened and find some acceptance of where they're at, and then come through and work with a medium, because that's another level of communication that they've got to master. But as you say, there's no time. So as to a finite window, no, I don't believe so. I think if you could be years later, you take an interest in the spiritual dimension of life. If you start sending your thoughts out, saying, I'd love to know, are you okay? I believe someone will try and respond to you.
So essentially, do you believe that you can call upon a loved one for a message or for guidance in a way that then they'd essentially get that that spiritual text message and go, oh shit, you know, Claire's, she's got a question, where is the safe code? I better respond in some way. And then they try and get back to you in some way, shape, or form. Can it be that obvious? I mean, I've heard stories of that where it can be something super specific. And sometimes it's just, I really wish I knew what this was. And you just kind of get some sort of, you know, you get the smell of the individual that comes back. Grandma's perfume or something of that nature. Just knowing that they are there, that they are watching out for you.
Yeah, I mean, it can be very specific. Yeah. It's coming through mediumship. I mean, it happens a lot where I'm made aware that somebody has been asking for help for a certain situation around them, and that I'm being shown what's going on, and that loved one is trying to say, yeah, we know what's going on. We for instance, if somebody, very common when people are suffering with health issues, very common, even to be, you know, told what the diagnosis is and things like that, or that they're waiting on test results and they don't want them to wait, things like that, where someone has been asking for help, and perhaps they haven't felt their loved one coming close to them, but through the medium that person has been able to let that person know that they are there. So it can be quite specific in that way. But in other ways, for somebody else, it might be the smell of grandma's perfume, mm-hmm. because that's the way she can get their attention.
Sure.
And I do believe, just from personal experience, that I think it's the emotion. It's not just the thoughts, it's the emotion that we're putting out there. So when we're feeling that need, or that we're missing that a loved one, or feeling lost and needing help, why wouldn't your loved ones draw around you? That bond of love never ever dies. And it seems to me that they feel the struggle you're going through and want to try and help you the best they can. However, they can't do it for you.
Sure.
Just like we can't do it for anybody here. You know, you can be with somebody who's got addictions, for instance, in this world, and you can really want to sort them out. But we all understand that that's never going to happen until they take the bull by the horns and make the decisions themselves. Mm. And it's exactly the same. You know, ultimately, we can only ever help ourselves, and no one in spirit can help us. All they can do is be there with some supportive reassurance, I think, and comfort to give us the strength to make the decisions that are right for us and to keep plowing forward.
Something that's been very interesting to me is hearing stories of loved ones seemingly following the living around, almost as if they are a guide or a teacher, whether that be a father, an uncle, a friend, whatever it may be. Once someone passes on, and this is an opinion-based question, but you're someone who knows this area, you know, quite well with your experiences and has a little bit more insight to it than others. Is that a choice, you believe, that is made by the deceased to follow a specific individual? Or are there cases where it's more so an assignment that's made from something on the other side saying, you get Susie and you get Billy, and it's just, here's who you get, and that's where you land? And I ask that because of many stories that I've heard over the years of someone discovering in one way or another that there seems to be a relative or a friend following them around. But in life, they were never close to them. They never really knew them very well. There wasn't that bond of a relationship. It was just, well, it's, you know, that weird Uncle Dick who, you know, he threw around firecrackers on the 4th of July and freaked everyone out. You know, he was a nice guy, but I didn't really know him very well. And now he seems to be following me everywhere I go and, like, somehow guiding, you know, good choices or something. and then you wonder, well, why is it that person is seemingly following me around, but my grandfather, who I was very close with, isn't. It can be a weird paradox and a weird question I think some people ask themselves when in that situation.
Well, I think I can answer that because I've had many, many clients saying the same thing to me when I, for instance, if I'm doing a reading and great Uncle Dick comes through instead of mother, you know.
Sure.
And I think it's because what I can glean is that that person may not have always done things in this world or this life to a way that they now realize they could have done. So, for instance, if they hadn't been particularly compassionate or hadn't been very family orientated, maybe not very loving, perhaps very selfish, not self-centered, but selfish, you know, perhaps not very caring, or perhaps they made very bad choices, you know, again, perhaps they had addictions or perhaps they, you know, had things they'd suffered with in this world. It seems that quite often they then choose to walk with ancestors who are now in the physical world to try and put to rights some of what they didn't do well when they were here. So the whole ancestral healing thing for me is fascinating because in my readings I'm often shown instances where, you know, ancestors that you don't really know and aren't very close to take a real interest in helping and supporting you because they're putting to right some of their past. Or I quite often get it where, for instance, females who couldn't have children and never had that, you know, satisfaction or fulfillment of being a mother here, then take on the very matriarchal guidance over a loved one who's here in you know, in physical form now. So often it's, I think, in answer to things they need to do and not necessarily about you, but it's in their want and need to serve, to help, to grow, to learn, because that just never stops. We just keep growing and learning and evolving. And that might be why you have quite a strange relative taking an interest in you. I don't believe that they follow us around.
Okay.
Just waiting for us to do something that needs some support. Because I believe that, you know, thought is almost like a text message. You know, that thought or that need goes out energetically somehow in some way, or that we're all connected in some way. And then they can come in visitation at those times. I'd be surprised. It would be quite unhealthy to be followed around all the time.
Especially by a strange Uncle Dick. That would be very bizarre. Here's an interesting question about spiritual guidance and teachers. And this is, I think, maybe what we'll close with this question. And this really could go, you know, either way, but I want your honest opinion on this. Just as in life, we can be very alone. You know, we can isolate ourselves from other people through whatever behavior we exhibit and for whatever reason we exhibit that behavior, and sometimes can feel very, very, you know, sad and down and just what I said, alone. Is that ever the case on the other side, or do we have at all times someone, whether it's someone that we necessarily know or did not know in life, that is there, that is on our side in some way, shape, or form, that is there to guide us in a reading and when you've talked with people and had these experiences with them? Have you ever run into that where you're with someone who does feel very alone, and then you're trying to get a message or trying to hear something on the other side or see something from the other side, and it's just empty and there isn't anyone that's there? Or is it more so they're there and sometimes we just don't realize it?
Well, mediumship's always experimental, and mediums cannot call up the dead. So sure. There are times when I'm doing readings that just don't work. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's because their loved ones aren't there, I don't believe that's the case anyway. Even if their loved ones weren't there, there would be some kind of spiritual guidance or teacher or someone who would want to help them around, just like I said, like we have here. Most people aren't solely on their own. I do believe in spirit, though, that we have choice, And I believe that some people choose to stay behind, for instance, as we know in the case of like a haunted house, or, you know, there are occasions when I do believe that for whatever reason, a spirit soul is choosing to stay behind. And I do believe there are some times when they don't necessarily recognize the light dimensions or the next, you know, level of reality, because they're choosing to stay close to our earthly reality. They don't recognize the help that's there for them because they're almost distracted from it. I imagine it a little bit like this. You know, when you've got your phone and that's a 2D reality and you're looking at your phone and you become so absorbed in your phone that you cannot actually become aware of the 3D reality around you, not hearing sounds, you don't know who's in the room, you're just so engrossed in what you're doing, you know, time flies, you don't even know how long you've been on it. I imagine it to be a little bit like that, in as much as, you know, where you put your focus or where you, you know, what you're looking for or what you're expecting to experience, you know, limits you perhaps in as to whether you move on. But it's always a choice, always a choice. And my spirit guides have taught me that there are times when they're coming to help others who didn't know that they've crossed. I mean, death is so easy, it seems, when it's sudden, that many people don't even understand they've died. So there's been many cases of, you know, mediums actually being asked to do visitations to try and help those who have just crossed understand that they need to look for the spirit guidance and help that's there to help them cross, to explain to them, actually, you've died. You know, so if you didn't even realize you'd passed, then you're, you know, trying to get to grips, or you're confused as to what's going on around you, you're not going to move into those higher states or go with helpers that are going to help you cross into a different place. And it's a very complex subject. It's not the norm. It really isn't. Most people, from my experience, are met by loved ones. And I would say in 90% of the readings I give, I can pretty much know who had come to get the loved ones as they were passing. I'm often shown who was there around their bed at that time, helping them cross. So I believe they get the help to cross. It's there for them. But whether they take that help again or turn away from it is their choice.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Claire Broad, author of the book, What the Dead Are Trying to Teach Us. That book available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for being a supporter, and thanks for listening.